meetings and things. But I picked some general ideas that I think that, in spite of some of the frustrating moments that we may experience throughout interactions with people, especially as we've tried to work as a congregation, these are the general guiding principles that keep being expressed, and I think that we can, in some ways, commend ourselves for, but there's always room for us to continue to strive toward these things, for the most part. I'd like to start off, though. Matt is going to come up in just a second, Matt Collins, and lead us with a prayer of praise and thanks to kind of set the stage for some of the other more characteristic-type prayers here. So we'll start with the reading of Psalm 146, if you'd like to turn there. Psalm 146. And obviously, there are about 150 psalms that you could pick, maybe not quite that number, that talk about the goodness of God and how worthy he is of praise. But I wanted to look at this one just real briefly. So if you would bear with me as we read Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth, and on that very day his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord.
Let's give thanks to our God and pray. Well, Lord, we come to you in prayer, very thankful that we have this time together and this time to lift up praise towards you. Where do we begin, Lord? We recognize that we are created beings and you are the creator, and it's tough sometimes for us to have a starting point, to recognize you as you are truly, as the creator, as the all-powerful God in heaven, and we finite beings here on earth. But we recognize, Lord, as the Creator, that you, in your infinite wisdom, decided to create and then after that redeem us and still today look after us, care for us, consider us. You've always been interested in your creation, and that baffles the mind at times. But we are thankful. We are very grateful that you cared to give us life and show us every day how important it is to love you, to consider who you are, who we are, and whom your people are, and show the kind of care that you have always given us. Show that towards your people, and show that towards every man on earth. Oh Lord, you are worthy of praise. That perhaps is the exact starting point. You are worthy of praise. You are a God who has done so many more things than we can ever repay. And so sometimes feeling just so inadequate, Lord, we're sorry that we can never repay you for all the things that you have done. Praise be to you, O Lord, in heaven. We will praise you with our souls. We will praise you with thoughts of your goodness and your kindness and your mercy. We will praise you in times of difficulty, in times of frustration, in times of defeat, in times of accolades, in times of victory. All times, O Lord, you are worthy of praise, and we give that to you, thanking you for who you are. Nothing we can do can change that. We recognize that. Nothing we can do can change your nature, your goodness, your character. because of who you are, O Lord, you are worthy of praise. Every circumstance that comes at us, O Lord, you are worthy, and we give you praise. Lord, thank you so much for who you are and what you do for us. We don't want to put faith and trust too much in our fellow man, O Lord. We put all of it, though, in you and in your name. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for who you are. Lord, help us to always recognize who you are and who we are in comparison and give you praise in every single circumstance. You are a faithful God and you always keep your promises. Sometimes we don't and we're sorry. Help us, O Lord. Help us. Help us to be more like you. Help us to always think of you as you have thought of us always. You always consider us. Why do you do that? You do that because you care. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for your son, Jesus, the ultimate demonstration of who you are. Your very nature, he always gave. No one has ever lived like Jesus. Came to this earth. He didn't even have a home to live in, a place to stay. All he cared about was trying to redeem his fellow man. Thank you for sending Jesus. Oh, Lord, we praise you in all circumstances. We really do want to bring that before you. Good times, bad times, tough times, you are worthy, O Lord of heaven. And we're thankful that we can have this time just to pray to you and give you praise. O Lord of heaven, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
One of the remarkable things that God allows for us to have is his wisdom. We I think, recognize how valuable that is. And so the proverb writer says it much more eloquently than I would. So let's read together Proverbs 3, 13 through 21. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps broke open, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Let's finish the thought there. And they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. In the book of James, one of the things that he writes several times is if you have a need, ask for it. And one of the things that James 1:5 says, if you're lacking wisdom, ask. And so at this time, Adam is going to say a prayer for that we can seek and obtain godly wisdom.
Let's go to God in prayer together. Father, we bow before you humbly today, and we give you thanks for your great creation, and the fact that you have not left us alone in this creation, that you have not placed us here and left us without your presence or your thoughts or your words. And we pray that you would help us to seek your wisdom in all the areas where we lack it. We ask you for wisdom, and we ask you for generosity in that wisdom, that you would grant us the wisdom that you so desperately want us to see and to pursue, and that as we turn to you and as we listen to you and seek to give our ear, that you would then cause us to seek after you and what you would have us to know and how you would have us to be. And then, Father, once you grant us that wisdom, we pray that you would show us happiness, true happiness, of what it means once we acquire understanding, and show us the value of that wisdom. Show us how it is so much more than silver and gold and more than anything that we could ever pursue on this earth. Show us how precious it is, how wonderful it is, and give us a desire for it that seeks it above all other things. And in that desire, we pray that you would also show us the ways in which life can be lengthened and preserved as a result of wisdom, how life can be more pleasant and our paths peaceful by wisdom. Show us how wisdom gives us life, and show us the ways that we can embrace wisdom and hold on to wisdom. Father, we recognize that you founded the earth by wisdom, and that you established all the earth by wisdom, and gave the earth its form and created everything in it. And Father, we pray that you would help us to maintain a desire for it and a discernment of your wisdom, of your mind, and recognize it as your truth, which is the love that you have shown for us in your word. And Father, we would see, even in the times that we don't always completely understand that wisdom and how it applies or how it is beneficial to us, that you would at least give us the assurance that it comes from you. And as such, it is for our good, so that when we lie down, we will not be afraid. And when we lie down, our sleep will be pleasant. And that when wickedness comes or danger threatens, that there's no fear, that there's confidence, that we don't multiply sorrows for ourselves, but that we multiply confidence in you and trust in you. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to turn to John 17. I think I might have talked about this passage fairly recently, but it's just striking to me, and I really appreciate these words because they're written to us. They are about us as followers of Christ. This is Jesus' prayer right before his betrayal, and as he's praying on behalf of him and his disciples, that they would be able to bear their load, that they would be able to be the people that they ought to be. In 20, he prays, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world." And if you'd like, turn to Romans 12. Starting in verse 3. "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And I wanted to look at this because I think sometimes I get stuck in my own rut of thinking that unity means we're all exactly the same. And that's exactly the opposite of what Paul is saying here. We're united in purpose. But we all have different strengths. We all have different personalities. We all have different abilities that when we combine those things, rather than let those things separate us into different parts, when we combine those strengths, we are more capable of serving God, more able to fulfill his purposes. And you know, we could look at other passages that talk about the different roles of different parts of the body, but I wanted to look at that. So as we work together, as we strive for unity, let's remember that we all have different roles that we can play, different strengths. Some in acts of mercy, do that cheerfully, and those that are good at leading, with zeal. We all have different roles and abilities. Some are good at teaching. Others are good at listening. So as we work through those things together, remember that we can be united in our ability to have different strengths and to lift up each other's weaknesses so that we can move forward to the image and glory of God. Kevin?
Our most wonderful and gracious Father in heaven, we come to you and we are so thankful for everything. At this time, Father, we are praying for unity, and we can look to you as the example of how the Godhead has unified in purpose, even to the point where Christ would die for the will of the Father. Father, we let this be the example that we are to be unified, not as individuals with our own purpose, but unified on your purpose, unified in your scriptures, doing what you would have us to do. Father, we know that we are all very different people. We have different ideas and different desires, different personalities. But whenever we submit to your word and to your will, we can be unified and come together as one voice. Father, we pray that you be for each and every member of this congregation and congregations throughout the world, that they could look to the scripture and to the example set by Christ. We can live our lives that way, and unity will never come into question because we are a mirror image of you. Father, we know that we fall short in this. Please help us to put aside our own desires, our own personalities and differences, so we can be united into your kingdom with you. Because that is our goal, so we can all be together with you in heaven. Please forgive us of our sins so that we can reach this goal. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
If you still have your Bible open to Romans, go ahead and flip over to Romans 15. This building off of the last one a little bit and the idea of unity. Starting in verse 5 here, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify God, to glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. And that really was the heart of the message that Jesus was praying in John, that our relationship with each other is one of the greatest ways that the gospel is shown. as they see the love and concern that we have for one another. The goal is that the world recognizes that. They see us as different. And so as we try to fulfill God's purpose in glorifying him, we do that as his body. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians 1, and we'll read a couple verses there. It's kind of picking up in the middle of a thought here, but to this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are both able to be glorified in Christ, and we are also able to bring him glory. So there's that dual relationship there, and a large part of that is us unable to measure up to his calling, but striving forward toward that. And as we try to do that together, I ask Jacob to lead us in a prayer with that end.
Let's go before our Father. Dear Heavenly Father, surely we are entirely unworthy to come into the presence of our all-glorious Creator. Lord, you created us in your image, in your likeness, that we might glorify your most worthy name. And we failed you. And instead, we committed acts that were in total opposition to who you wanted us to be. And because we failed you, you sent your Son to this earth full of your creation who had rebelled against you to show us what it meant to glorify your name and to die and to be raised to life, so that we might walk in the footsteps of your Son, our Savior, and in doing so, glorify your name, as is our purpose. And at this time, Father, we would ask that you would give us strength and that you would give us courage to walk in the ways of your Son, that we would be as those first Christians that we read of in your word, unified in our love for you and for one another, in such a manner that the world might look at us and be amazed and glorify your name, that we might act and speak and our very lives would reflect your glory that we know through the love we have seen in your Son. Lord, we would ask that we would in no way, under any circumstance, be ashamed to own you as our King, that we might not fear man, but that we would fear you and love you and walk in your ways and give you the glory forever and ever. May your name be glorified, Father, on earth even as it is continually glorified in heaven. And it is in Jesus' most holy and glorious name that we pray. Amen.
I'd like to look at Romans 5. One of the good things about the gospel is that there are obviously a lot of them, but one of the things I'd like to think about right now is you know, we talk about paradigm shifts in society sometimes, but it really is a paradigm shift in that it takes really anything and turns it into an opportunity to glorify God. And nothing can be a better opportunity than hardship, trials, things that the world looks at as bad. We don't want trials. We don't want hardship. We don't want difficulty because they're not fun. But the blessing that we have is God has this remarkable ability to take the bad things in the world and completely reassign them into the greatest opportunities for his glory. And so I'd like to think about that as we read verse 5 here, or chapter 5, verse 1 through 5 of Romans. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into his grace, in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. So when we go through these difficult times, and we come out ahead, we come out successfully trusting in God, it does a couple of things for us. One, it builds reassurance, knowing that if we do God's things, God's ways, then they will come out for the betterment of God's glory in the end. And two, it shows the world around us that we have hope. What do we hope in? We hope in the glory of God, which he will fulfill in us. Through Jesus Christ. And with that confidence, we're able to not only make it through difficult circumstances, but to even succeed, excel through them, showing God's love, his mercy, his patience, his endurance, very difficult things, and almost impossible without the gospel. And then lastly, Ephesians 6, if you turn over there, please. Starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Dan?
Our dear holy and almighty God and Father, we come before you to express our thanksgiving and our love for you. But especially at this time, we want to recognize you as the one of all power and ourselves as people of weakness. We pray that you will be with us to help us to rely that we are strong when your power controls our weakness. We pray that we will submit to you and that you will indeed show us the way and help us to go the way that we should go, knowing that you have the strength that we need. We have many sins and temptations that beset us, but we know by reflecting upon your word and trusting your word that we can direct our steps through the strength that you give us through both your word and your love that you have given us. Also, we often grow weary in our service to you. We allow things around us to discourage us and to hold us back. We ask you to help us to preserve through these things, to have the perseverance that we will actually overcome these things that are holding us back, and we will be serving you. We know that you are eternally the same. You never waver, you never turn back. Help us to see this quality in you and to develop that quality in our own lives. We as people are very feeble and very frail when it comes to opposing sin and overcoming sin. And we very much need your help and your strength. So we ask you to be with us as individuals and as a congregation as we face the problems that we have. Give us the strength to embrace one another and to love one another and to never waver from that. These things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
The last prayer we'll have this evening is, well, we'll have a closing prayer, but the last is part of our prayer service will be for a specific request. So Matt Hudson will come up in just a minute to go through the people that were mentioned in the bulletin. And then I had a couple other things to mention. Two of them, I think, have been announced, but I just wanted to bring them up again so we can just think about them before the prayer. Pat Greer had asked for prayer. She has a friend whose name is Joseph, who's going through some medical tests and had asked for prayers. It sounded like he had reached out for prayers from the congregation. And so we'd like to offer prayers on his behalf. The Roberts, Dolores and Joey Roberts, their son, Zachary, and their grandson, Xander, there are some difficult times for them right now as they have some familial issues that they're trying to work through. And the concern is especially for Xander, him being, you know, young and going through some difficult circumstances. So to keep that family in your prayers so that we can hope that he can have some stability and comfort in that. That's a a trying time, I'm sure. And then lastly, Carmen Dillard asked, and it was mentioned, so her son, who is in Florida right now, has three children. He's going through some financial and housing difficulties, and there's a lot of uncertainty there. And that would be a very difficult time to go through. So on his behalf, on behalf of his children, we'd like to pray for some measure of comfort, stability, and hope for a better outcome in the future as well. And then I'm going to take a second. This is maybe a slight surprise. I'm going to ask one of the few times that I've come forward here. I think it was right after Theo was born, and it was rough being in pharmacy school, being a father and a husband and a new parent. I was really just struggling with life in general, and it hasn't gotten a whole lot easier. So I'm going to be selfish just for a second, and I guess I will make a more generally specific prayer. There are several other young parents here that struggle with the balance of having a full-time job, of being a full-time parent, of being an adequate husband, and I definitely struggle with those things. So please keep us in mind as we struggle through that. It's hard to balance being the brother to you all, and having that obligation and sense of, you know, desire to help hold each other together and build each other up, and yet not neglecting family issues and being a good father and parent, and you know, fulfilling my responsibilities as a provider. So I'd ask that you keep those things in mind too. So with that, we'll have Matt come up and lead us.
Let us pray. Our dear and heavenly Father, we come to you again, grateful for this avenue of prayer. And Father, we come to you to ask specifically for those in our congregation. Please, Father, be with Maxine Becknell. Please be with the Greer family during their time of loss. Please be with Nellie Rollins with her medical needs, and help her to be healthy and well, and help her healthcare providers to provide holistic and adequate care. Please be with Jean Taylor as she deals in her recovery. Please be with Annette Tuttle and her health issues. Please be with Bob and Renee Varner. Please be with Barbara Crusoe and Melita Miller. Please, Father, be with the Dillard family, and please bring them the financial and housing stability that they need so that they can begin addressing the other issues that surround that. Please, Father, be with Pat Greer's friend Joseph, and help his medical tests to be accurate, specific, and sensitive, and that they may be able to help him and treat him well once they have done those tests. Please, Father, be with Dolores Roberts and the family, and help bring them emotional stability. Please bring them comfort and help console them during these trying times, and help the children so that they may be able to mature through this and use this to help develop themselves further. Please, Father, if you will also, be with all the families here in the church. Please be with us all so that we can strive for balance, wellness in all aspects of our lives, and that we can become the fullest potential that we can in all things, and that we may always bring glory to you through what we do. And this we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.
That concludes the prayer service that we have. So as is our custom, I'll offer just a brief invitation. I don't have anything specifically prepared, but I would like to reflect on some of these ideas that we've thought about as we strive to show each other who God is, as we try to emulate the characteristics of Christ and use the vast knowledge that he's given us to glorify him. And you can't be a part of that unless you're a part of his family. And you can't be a part of his family unless you're willing to submit to his will. We are in no way worthy of what he has done for us, we are in no way capable of earning our salvation. It is only through the blood offering of Jesus Christ that we could ever hope to be saved. So if there are any needs in that regard, we'd offer that now. But also, as a congregation of God's people, we have an obligation to one another to reach out to one another. And as Adam mentioned, to let each other know of our difficulty. So this is also an invitation for that as well. If you're struggling with anything, please reach out to us. And for us, if you're not necessarily struggling, but take it upon yourself to reach out to others. The invitation is not just to those in need, but also for those that are aware of needs to take steps to resolving those. And I believe that we are working in that regard. So at this time, if there is any need, please come while we stand and sing.